And we are recording. So last time we talked about the idea of an ethical will, right? That is telling Shlomo, this is what I want you to do, this is what I think you're doing. But now I want to go back to the parak beforehand. And Malachim Aleph, Parak Aleph, it's the Haftorah for Chayesara. And it starts out with talking about David in his old age. Which, of course, he's only 69 years old at this point, which doesn't sound that old. But working for the government service ages you very, very fast. And there's a comment about, not about David, but about Shlomo, about the Shmuel. This is in source two. Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yitzchak, Vahi Kasher Zakan Shmuel. When Shmuel was old, that's when the people came to him and asked for a king. Was Shmuel really that old? Bahabar nun bet hava. But he was actually only 52 years old, which is definitely not old. Well, old age kind of jumped on him. All the stress of trying to lead a whole nation full of Jews. It ages you very quickly. So he was old. So here David is 69 years old, and he's old. And that's the way the parak starts. The Melch David Zaken Baba Yamim, and David was old, coming along in years. And they covered him with clothing, with blankets, but he couldn't get warm. So his servant said, let us find a young woman, and let her serve him. And she should lay with you, and she should warm you up. They looked for an appropriate woman in all of Israel, Abishag, and they found a woman named Abishag, Abishag, and they brought her to the king. And she was very beautiful, and she served the king, and helped him. But the king was not intimate with her. That wasn't that kind of relationship. He knows the story. This again, the stuff Torah, and we're not going to talk about Abishag a whole lot. We looked at it beforehand, in the context of Avshalom and the concubines of David, because Abishag is important here because later Adoniah is going to ask to marry her. Adoniah, of course, is the son of not the king, and the fact that he's trying to marry the Sochenet, a concubine of a king, that's kind of taking saying, I'm going to be the next king. But in the context of what we're going to look at in this story, it tells us that David's old. He's weak, perceived to be weak. And that's where Abarbanel puts it in source four. And now the story of Abishag is written here. To tell us that David was old, and very weak. Karer damo, his blood was cold kach she'imayot she'yichasu b'gadim, so much so that he just couldn't get warm. That they find suggested getting a young woman to lie with him. And the fact that David, in fact, was a lusty young man, certainly had plenty of wives and plenty of women. And at this point, he had lost his strength so much, though he was not intimate with her, wouldn't lie with her. So it gives us a sense of just what David is, what David is like. He's just lying in bed, he just can't move. And so the next story is the next part of the story. It talks about Adoniah, but not Ben Chagit. Adoniah is David's fourth son. Because all the previous ones have either died or not in line for the succession. Oldest one was Amnon, killed by Absalom. Next one was Kilav, the son of Abigail, who basically was never in line for succession. We talked about that. Next one was Absalom, who was killed in the rebellion. And now we have Adoniah. Adoniah ben Chagit, mitnaseh lemar. He Adoniah made him mitnaseh. glorified himself and said, Ani Emloch, and said, I'm going to be king. He also rechem for Hashem, and he gave himself a chariot and horsemen, Chamishim Ish Ratzim Lefanav, and 50 men running before him. Oh, glory, oh, very glorious. Lo atzvo aviv miyamav, lemor, and his father never made him sad. Behold, I never told him, Madua kachasita, never criticized him, never asked, why are you doing this? Gamutov tor ma'od, and he was very good looking. Oto yolda achre Avshalom, and he was born shortly after Avshalom. Avshalom has died, so now this is David's favorite. So he talked to Yoav, who was David's general, Eviatar Kohen, and with Eviatar was Kohen Gadol, and they all followed Adoniah. And but Tzadok, who was the other Kohen Gadol, and Binyayahu ben Yehoyada, who was the head of David's personal palace guard, Natan Navi, the Navi, Bishimi, that was Shimi Ben Gera we talked about last time, Rei, the name I don't know, Lagi Barima Shal David, and all David's personal heroes, his men, Loya Imen, they didn't go after Adoniyahu. Vizbacha Nod Son of Akar, and so Adoniyahu had this huge feast, slaughtered sheep and cattle, Umari, and fatted sheep, Im Evan Hazochelet, in a place called Evan Zochelet, Asher Eitzel Ein Regel. The name of the place. And he called the other princes, and all the people of Yehuda, the servants of the king. But he did not include Natan. He didn't include Neo and David's own more loyal guards. And Shlomo, he didn't include. He's going to declare himself king. But it's worth noticing that, and worth emphasizing, this is not a rebellion. David is not, Adoniah was not saying, I am king, David is no longer king. He was the oldest surviving son who's eligible for Malchut, and he says, Ani Emloch. That's what he said, I will be king. That's different from Avshalom, who said, you need to announce Malach Avshalom b'Chevron. Avshalom said, I am king, David is no longer king. Adoniah is just declaring himself, I'm going to be the heir apparent. So we know that David wanted Shlomo to succeed him. I think it was public knowledge. We'll talk about why, but it's not clear that this was something that everybody expected to happen. It was clear when it says that Lo Atzvo Aviv Miyamav Limar Madua Kacha Asita, when it says that David never criticized him, to ask him, what are you doing? It's clear that Adoniah was publicly declaiming, Ani Emloch, I'm going to be the next king. And David never corrects it. So maybe David didn't really mean when he said that Shlomo would succeed him. It's not clear what was going on here. And Yoav, again, was David's general, was loyal to David, Aviatar's Kohen Gadol, were not going against the explicit command of the king. Again, this is not a rebellion. Just some declaration. Adoniah was celebrating, I'm going to be the next king. My father is getting old. And for the Radak puts it. Adoniyahu knew that David had said that Shlomo would be the next king. Even though David didn't really make a big deal about it yet, but Adoniyahu thought to himself, my father obviously loved me, and he never criticized me. So I'm going to claim it publicly. I'm going to be the heir apparent, and that'll be facts on the ground and fait accompli. And if David doesn't object, then I know that really me over Shlomo. And David doesn't gainsay Adoniah. That's important. That's our word of the day, is gainsay. He doesn't say no. And it's not clear to me why not. None of the classical mepharshim comment on, well, why doesn't David explicitly say, no, you're not going to be next king? And I think it's possibly thought that after all the civil wars, after Avshalom, after Sheva ben Bichri, that maybe they needed to have a strong military leader. And that was more important than building the Beit HaMikdash, at least for right now. He had a nevuah that Shlomo was the chosen child who would build it, but it's not our job, it's not David's job to make that prophecy come true. And you can figure that someone would eventually end up being king. He would build it fine, but right now we need an Adonijah to be the king. We need him to pacify the kingdom. Possibly. Caleb is not quite sure who really should be the next king. So the Navi has other plans. Natan says, no, this can't be. And the parak continues. Vayomer Natan Batsheva. Natan goes to Batsheva, Shlomo's mother. Aim Shlomo, so it says. Lemor, it says, hello, Shamata. Did you not hear ki malach Adonijahu ben Hagi? Didn't you hear that Adonijahu has become king? Vadenu David lo yada, and David, our master, doesn't know. Batelechi, now go. Yitzchak na'etzah. I'm going to tell you what to do. Maltiat nafshech, but nefesh ben Shlomo, and you'll save your life and the life of Shlomo. Because Natan knows full well that if Adonijah becomes king, he's going to kill Shlomo. He doesn't need the competition for the throne. L'chi So he tells her, L'chi boy amelach David, go talk to David, v'amartai lav, and you should tell him, hello, ata Adonijah melach nishbat el amatcha lemar. Didn't you swear to me, to your maidservant, and said, Shlomo b'nechi melach acharai, that Shlomo, your son, will be king after me. He will sit on my throne. So why is Adonijahu saying that he's the king? And while you're still talking to the king, I'll come in after you, and I'll support what you said. So notice that Nathan is lying here. He says, Malach Adonijahu ben Hagit. Adonijahu ben Hagit has been king. That's not right. Adonijahu said, Ani emloch, I will be king. That's not the same thing. But he has high, there's a higher value. There's something else he's trying to do because we know the rule of Gemara Yevamot. Muter lo. You're allowed to change the truth. You're allowed to say things that aren't quite true before because in order to create peace. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, mitzvah. And Rabbi Yonatan says, no, it's actually a mitzvah, it's a commandment. Second here. I think I just messed up my entire thing. Uh-oh. That was not what was supposed to happen. I apologize. I just destroyed what I do. Okay. That you can change things. You can lie. Fudge the truth in order to create peace. Rabbi Natan Omer. Nice coincidence that his name was Natan here. The rabbi who said that it's a mitzvah. It's actually a commandment. You have to do this. So David might have hoped that Adonijah and Shlomo could work together. Natan knew that that wasn't the case, and if Adonijah had become king, Shlomo would be dead. He would kill him. That's how things worked. So he says, okay, we've got to stop Adonijah. So they do this. But Tavo Batsheva Lamelach, so Batsheva comes to the king, Achadra, and into the room. Vamelach Zaken Ma'od, the king was very old. Avishag Shunamit, Mesharet HaMelach, and Avishag Shunamit was there serving the king. But Tavo Batsheva Tavo Vaishach Lamelach, so Batsheva bows down. Yomer Melach Malach, and the king asks her, what's up? Batamra Lo. And she says to him, Adonai, you, my master. You swore to me Yisrael, I used to swear that my son Shlomo would rule after me, Yeshev and he will sit on my throne. But now look, Adoniyah has declared himself king. But you obviously, the king, don't know. And he's slaughtering all these sheep and cows. And he's called all the other sons of the king, and he called Yoav, who's the general of the army. Shlomo, he's not bringing Shlomo there. He's obviously trying to keep a secret. Now, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon you. Who's going to sit on your throne after you? You need to tell us. So when the king lies with his ancestors, when he dies, and then I and my son Shlomo will be considered as sinners. Right? We're not going to survive if Adonijah becomes king. Odenu, hi Janet. Medaberet, and as she's talking to the king and telling him how, well, if you don't make up your mind about who's going to be the next king, then someone's not going to survive. Natana Nabibah, the Natan comes in. The Gidol Lemor, and there's a courtier said, lo, here is Natan the prophet. He bows down to the king. Natan says, oh king, did you really say that Adoniyahu will become the king after you? And he will sit on your throne. Because he went today, down today and he's having this massive barbecue with sheep and cattle, and he's called all the other princes, and the heads of the army, the Abiatar Kohen, and then Abiatar Kohen Gadol. They're all eating and drinking there in this coronation party. And they're all saying, long live King Adonijah. Again, Natan is lying here. That's not what's happening. But still. For me, it's Tzadok HaKohen, for Tzadok, who's the other Kohen Gadol, Binyahu BinYada, your head of your palace guard, Shlomo Abdecha, and Shlomo specifically, Lo Kara, they were not called to this. If you really wanted this to happen, why didn't you tell your servant? Tell me who would be on your throne after you, who would succeed you. Again, we're talking about Malachim Aleph, Perak Aleph, and the whole fight between Shlomo and Adoniyah. So who would succeed David? So the two key parts of Bathsheba's argument. One is, Shlomo. So he's telling David, you swore, you took an oath, it was a Shavua, that Shlomo would be the next king. And the other one is, that Shlomo, and I and Shlomo, my son, will be declared sinners. The implication Adonijah would kill Shlomo. And so David decides, even though we're saying that he may not have been quite sure, he says, this is now, we're going to publicly reassert that Shlomo will be the king afterwards. After Natan comes to him, he says, Vayanj Amelech David Vayomer. So David gets up and announces, Kiruli le Batsheva, call Batsheva back in. And she stands before the king. Vayeshava Amelech Vayomer. Now he publicly swears again, Hi Hashem, life of God, Hashem, Padat Nafshi Mikol Tzara, God will save me from all trouble. Just as I swore you before, Hashem, Elkei Israel, in the name of God, I swore that Shlomo would be the next king, and he will sit on my throne in my place. I will do it today. I will make this happen. And so Bathsheba bowed down to land, down to the ground, by and bowed. And she said, long live King David. And the Haftarah ends there. And I always think it's a little ironic because she really doesn't want David to live forever because she wants Shlomo to be the king. But she's going to say, long live the king. She appreciates what's happened. So the question then is, when did David swear to Bathsheba that Shlomo would be the king? Right? Kasher nishbati lecha, just like I swore you before, now I'm going to publicly swear. We don't have any record of that.
Was that when she comforts, when he goes in to comfort her?
So that, in fact, is the way the Radak's going to read it. We don't have anything in the text that says, I swear that Shlomo will be
Right,
the
you
next
don't
king.
know what he said to her.
So that's the way, like, looking at the text back when the only time that he talks to Bathsheba at all in Sefer Shmuel is, you know, I mean, we is that one line of Vayinechem David at Bathsheba, Yishto, and David comforts, I read that more as changes her mind more than comfort. Vayavo eleha, vayishkav imah, and he lies with her, Batele ben, and she has a child, a son. Vayikra, or Vatikra, it's Shmo Shlomo, and they name him Shlomo. Hashem Ahavo, and God loves this child, opposed to the previous child. Vayishlach b'yad Natan Avi, so Hashem sends a message through Natan, same Natan, Vayikra Shmo Yedidya. It says, we're going to call this child is going to be called Yedidya, the beloved of God, Bavur Hashem, for the sake of God. Yedidya is a great name, that's the name of my grandson. But that's not quite the same as promising he would be king. So the Radak reads this, right? As nishbato amatcha, right? You swore to your maidservant. When was that? Yodeh haya Natan shenishbala. Natan knew that David had sworn to her. Because she had told that Natan that. We're assuming that whatever oath happened. Woman nishbala. And why did he swear to her that she will be king? Amro. So they'll say, "Ki kishemet hayeled," when the first child died, "Amra bat sheva hayeled met mifnei havon," that this child died because of our sin. "Afilu yemi li mimcha ben shel kayam," and even if we have another child, and that child lives, "Yevozu oto achav," that he will be despised by all the rest of his brothers, "Mipnei shebati alecha bavon mitchila," because of the original sin that I came to you. But sheva didn't have anything to do with David. Lord Stella his dakeklo, and she refused to go close to him, Aj Nishbala, until he swore to her, Ya Benji Alomimena, that this son that she would have, Rishon, the first son they would have, Yimochafra would rule after him. Again, not in the text, this is Radak assuming this. Amar Allah, so he said, told her that he had the nevuah, that the son who would come from me would build the Beit HaMikdash, would rule after me and would be on the We'd be on my throne forever. So Radak says that was unstated, but clearly that happened. Rav Eisenman in Divrei Yamim has a problem with that. And he says the narrative there in Kings does not make it clear how Nathan and Bathsheba knew that Solomon was supposed to be king. In her speech to the king, Bathsheba talks of an oath which David made to her, but this is never explicated in scripture. Should say. The sages find only a hint of it in our pasuk of Vayinachem. Nevertheless, it seemed clear that we generally assume that Solomon was to be king, since Adoniah invited neither him nor anyone else to the king's inner circle to the coronation, which he had organized for himself. Presumably, Adoniah knew what he was doing when he didn't. We had all the other princes come, but not Shlomo. He knew that this had been expected. In David's mind, it must have been clear that Solomon was to succeed him. And we saw before by Krolish Mo Benovitz, right? When he gives his ethical will to Dat Shlomo and tells him, God commanded me to build the Beit Mikdash, and I want you to build it for me. It's obvious that Solomon too had already been formed of his destiny before Adoniyahu's pretensions. This raises the question of why Bathsheba makes no mention of this in her argument to David. She says, you swore to me, but why not say you've already made it clear that Shlomo's been supposed to be the next king. And I think that the reason that there was the same thing is that David publicly declared Shlomo will be the next king. And that was, in fact, the oath to Bathsheba, this would be the next king. In Divrei Yomim, it describes the first time Shlomo was presented to the public. In Source 14, David Zaken, the Savei Yamim, and David was old, full of days. Vayamlech et Shlomo beno Yisrael, and he made Shlomo his son king over Israel. Vayasov kol Shrei Yisrael, v'konim Leviim, and he gathered together all the leaders and the Kohanim Leviim. And then we have five more chapters describing of all the work that he did getting the Beit HaMikdash together. So when does this happen? When does Vayamlech et Shlomo beno Yisrael happen? Again, these five chapters of getting organized has got to be much earlier than the last year of his life. Okay, because then we have another public celebration after all the description of organizing and building the Beit HaMikdash. This is in Divrei Yamim.
When you say we, are you saying David or are you saying Shlomo?
When you say what?
Are you saying he is David or are you saying he Shlomo?
I'm saying David declares that Shlomo will be king.
Okay.
Shlomo beno al Yisrael. The question is, when did that happen? And the fact that after that, in the narrative of the Divrei Yamim, we have, again, this five chapters, we have a long time of David actually doing work. But I think this is a long time before that last year of his life. He's already publicly declared, right, Vayasov kol Shrei Yisrael v'konim b'alaviyim, said Shlomo be king. And then he has another ceremony. Again, this is the end of his life. This is the final chapter in Divrei Yamim. And David says, people bless God. And they all say a bracha, they bow down to God, and they bow down to the king. And they offer offerings and have sacrifices. The day afterwards, parim elef elef elim elef vasim elef v'nisvehem, 1,000 oxen, 1,000 rams, 1,000 sheep. And lots of food for the barbecue. This is a big party. And they're very happy. And they make Shlomo the king the second time. The people do. This is a second public coronation. The Shlomo ben David, and they anoint him to be the leader. And they appoint Tzedakah to be the Kohen Gadol. And David was now the king. To rule at, rather, Shlomo was now the king to rule after David. By Yislachi, his successor, by Shmuelav, called Israel, and all Bnei Israel lived, listened to him. Called Bnei Hamelech, David, Natnu Yad, Tachat Shlomo, Hamelech, and all the leaders, all of David's men, all the other princes, literally put their hands under Shlomo's hand to accept his rule. This is like the scene of the Godfather when they kiss his ring. Right? Shlomo is now king. Vagdal Hashem Shlomo Lamala Ne Kol Yisrael, and Hashem made Shlomo great. Vaitain Alav Hod Malchut, and he had the glory of the kingdom. Shloya Kol Melech Lefanav Al Yisrael, that had never been true of any previous king. He looked the part. My assumption is this Perek Kaf Gimel, when it's Vayamlech Shlomo Beno Yisrael, was early on. I imagine he was like 2 years old, and he's presented to the people as, this will be your new king. He's not king yet. That happens in Perek Chaf Tet, when he actually Shlomo sits on the throne of David while David's still alive. Okay, and here's a picture of that. Right, there is David and Bathsheba and Shlomo. Remember this movie, right? Oh, yeah, this will be your next king. And at this point, my assumption here is that David's 60 years old. He's zaken, as it says, saveh yamim, full of days, but he's not, I guess we should not, zaken, but he's zaken ma'od, as it says in our Perek and Malachim. And I think 60 is the point when Avshalom starts plotting to take over. That's when Achitofel decides that he can't, that David's got to suffer for what happened with Bathsheba, that this goes on beforehand. Avshalom starts rebelling because he knows that Shlomo's been appointed to be king. Right? Avshalom thinks he's the oldest surviving son. He should be the king. But the Vayamlech et Shlomo, when he's younger, doesn't mean he was crowned king. David's still a king. That's the Shavua that will happen. The coronation won't happen for another 10 years in Perek Chaf Tet. And that's described as Vayamlichu Sheni Ushlomo, and they the people crowned him king for the second time. Because there were two times that he was anointed king. Second time was in the big celebration, the big party that David organized. The first time is in Sefer Melachim in our chapter that we're looking at, right after Bathsheba and Nathan come to him, to David, and say, you know, Adonijah is gonna wants to become king. And David says, no, I'm gonna make it clear that Shlomo is king. He says, Vayomer HaMelech David. So David says at this point, Kirili let Sadok and Kwain Natan and Avi, Bunyahu ben Yahida, go called Sadok and Natan and Bunyahu, all the people who are not there with Adonijah. They vote for them with the Melech and they all come for the king. And David says to them, don't take all of my people. And I want you to make Shlomo, my son, ride al hapredasher lead on my predasahini, the quiller mule. That was a royal animal, right? Just like in Achashver, in Esther, Achashver tells Haman, go herkiviu at Mordechai on my horse. So too, I want you to let Shlomo ride on my horse. I want you to go down to the Gachon River. And I want you to anoint him there. Al Yisrael, he will be now king over Israel. To kamba shofar and blow the shofar, and then say, long live Shlomo the king. That's happening today. I'm still alive, but I want you to crown him king. And you'll go back up to Yerushalayim with him, and he will sit on my throne, and he will reign in my stead. Because I have commanded that he will be the ruler of Israel, the ruler of Israel and Yehuda. Binyahu says, Amen. So says the God of my master, the king. Kasheria Hashem im Aduni HaMelech. So just as God was with you, Kenya im Shlomo, so should he be with Shlomo. Bigdel et kiso, mikiseri HaMelech David, and may his throne be greater than yours. Yeretz Tzedakah Kain. So they do this. Yeretz Tzedakah Kain, Natan Aviv, Ben Yehuda, Achreti, so David, all of David's men and his palace guard, Vayakivu, 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 Vayakivu et Shlomo, al-Predat HaMelech David, and they put Shlomo on the donkey of the mule of David. They bring her down, bring down to the river. And so Tzedok takes the Sheman and Mishcha from the Ohel Moed, and he anoints Shlomo. They take Uba Shofar and they blow a Shofar, and everyone says, long live King Shlomo the king. Paragraph before, Bathsheba says, Yechiyah Melech David. Now it's Melech Shlomo. And the people all went back up with him. And they were all dancing, and they were all very happy. And the very earth shook, split from the sound of their celebrating. So now Shlomo's king. That's right. He's 12 years old. And he's made king in the lifetime of David. But going back, if in fact David made it clear that Shlomo was going to be king, why was Yoav following Adonijah? What was Yoav thinking when he followed Adonijah? I assume that Yoav, as always, has David's best interests in mind, or rather, what he thinks David's best interests are in mind. And when the kingdom's at peace, it's fine to have the peace-loving kid. He's 12 years old. He's the one who wants wisdom. That's great. He's going to go write all these poetic books. Great. That's fine. Right? Someone's the one who's going to choose wisdom over wealth or power if he got the chance. But the 10 years since David announced that Shlomo will be his successor, the country's gone through two civil wars. There are still external enemies. It needs a strong leader. I think Yoav thinks David made a mistake with Shlomo. David needs to do Hatat under Nidarim, right? He may have sworn it, but he's got to go back. Only David known that these things would happen, he would never have picked Shlomo. He would have picked Adonijah, who's a strong, strapping young man. David needs to void his oath and designate a real king. And I think that's part of what's going on here with this whole discussion about Shever. You think in terms of halacha, right? I want to take back an oath. You understand why Natan needs Bat Sheva to say, Nishbata, you swore to me, to your maidservant, Shlomo, you swore that my son Shlomo would reign. Because making an oath to a person is much stronger. And that's the halacha here in source 17. Not so much that they're looking at the halacha. David's not reading the Shulchan Aruch, but it tells us the strength of a neder, what a shavua means. It's neder al dat chavera. You make an oath for the sake of another person. Lo ela im lo tosh neder al dato. You can't void that oath. You can't do hatat nadim go before Beis and said, I don't mean it. That's true for your own neder. I'm going to learn an extra Daf of Gemara every single day. You can be Mater Neder if you realize it's not going to work. You're making an oath to a person, you have to get that person's permission. Yesh omrim b'filo hodio, that even if you let the person know, ain't matirin ela midatu ritzono. The rule is you have to get the permission from the person. The person you made an oath to has to say, I forgive you, you don't need to keep it. The daf gish netar al dato b'shvil shum tova sha'asalo, and this is talking about if I make a neder that to benefit someone else, and I need to get them involved in overcoming that oath. So this oath is neder to Bathsheba. David can't go back on it without Bathsheba's permission. So this is a pretty strong thing that David does not go back. He says, no, you're right. Shlomo's going to be. So now, after they've declared Shlomo king, Adonijah's incipient reign. He's about to become king. He figures he's going to become king. That's over. The parak continues. This is never part of the. This is not part of the Torah. So we don't know this part. Vayishma Adoniyahu v'kol karim. So then Adoniyahu, who's out farther away having this big party, declaring himself that he's going to be the next king, and all the people he invited him kalu l'chol, and when they had all finished eating. Yoav listens and says, the shofar is going off. There's an alarm going off. There's some kind of siren. Why is there this alarm going off? And as Yoav is talking about this, Yonatan, the son of Eviatar, who's the Kohen Gadol, who's with Adonijah, he comes up. Abayomran, he said, Adonijah, come here because you need to hear this. Because you're strong, but Tov Tivaser, and it'd be good for you to hear this news. No, it's the way around. Adonijah said, you need to come here and you're going to tell me good news. So Yonatan says to Adonijah, the truth is, David just declared Shlomo king. I know you're having a good party here, but the king just made Shlomo the next king. David went with all of his men, and Shlomo got to ride on the mule of the king. And they anointed Shlomo as king, and the river Gachon, and they were all happy and they were all celebration. That's what you're hearing. It's a celebration of anointing Shlomo as king. And Shlomo was actually sitting on the throne. And all the servants of the king came to bless King David and saying, Yitav Elokim et Shem Shlomo Mishimcha, may God make the name, the fame of Shlomo greater than yours. Yigdala kiso mikisecha, may his throne be greater than yours. Vayishtachu ha-melech al ha-mishkav, and Vayishtachu ha-melech, and the king, how do I translate that? I'm curious how they translate that line here. This is Safaria. Let me show you. What do I have here? Let Oh wait, Stachwa Melech Al Mishkav. That's the talking about the king. That David bowed to Shlomo his son. Just like Yaakov bowed to Yosef. So David is acknowledging that Shlomo is now the king. And the king said the following: Baruch Hashem, okay, Israel, blessed is God, Shana Tanayom, Yosheva, Kisei, that there's someone who's sitting on my throne, and my eyes have been privileged to see this. So that was the news. So now, by Yachadu, by Kumukola, Karima, Shel, and Yom. So now, everyone who was invited to Adonai's party were panicked, they were trembling, by Yachu Ishla, and they all left. Right, they got to declare their loyalty to Shlomo, but Eliyahu was very afraid for Shlomo. And he went and grabbed hold of the Mizbeach on the assumption that, since I know that I would have killed Shlomo if I became king, so Shlomo's killer gonna try to kill me. And so he grabs hold of the horns of the altar. And Shlomo was told, look, Amiel is afraid of you as King Shlomo. And he's holding on to the horns of the altar. Lamar is saying, Yishab Ali, let him, that king swear to me clear as day, im yamit et avdo that he won't kill me. Remember Shlomo says, Chayo, if you will be a real man, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground. But if he does anything wrong, but then he will definitely die. And so Shlomo sent and brought him back down from the Mizbeach. And Adonijah bows down before king, before Shlomo the king. And Shlomo left with Beit Cha, and Shlomo said, go back home. Again, the point here is that David has made Shlomo the king. Shlomo is now the king. Everyone's acknowledging him the king. Everyone's bowing down to him. Even David's bowing down to him. So David's still alive. He's abdicated in favor of his son. Because you can't have two kings simultaneously. So now the hope is there'll be no struggle for the David successor after he dies. David's now king emeritus. This is Gemara in Tanit that points out that at least that Shaul dies right when as David becomes king, was ein malchut no god v'chevratah afilu k'malei nima, that one the rule of one king doesn't overlap with another king, even a hair's breadth. David's now retired. And similarly, we have when Yehoshua is succeeding Moshe, he's given the orders. And it says, when Moshe tells Yeshua, that you will go with these people to the land. This is again telling it to Yeshua going to the land. It says, that Hashem tells Yeshua, you will bring B'nai Israel, you will bring B'nai Israel to the land. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar lo Moshe Yeshua. The Moshe tells Yeshua, you are going to go together with the other leaders. You'll be leading them. Hashem says, no. Now you, Yeshua, have the authority to take a stick and whack him over the head. There can only be one leader for the generation, but there can't be two leaders. So two here. So was that taken over? And this is. This was an interesting article. This is Aviada Cohen is on a legal faculty at, I think, Bar Ilan. Writes on contemporary Israeli politics. But he was writing an article about this joint prime ministership that Israel does every once in a while. And just pointing out that it can never work. And he quotes here the Mabit, who is Yisrael Trani, I forgot exactly when he lived, but Teshuva asking about having two presidents of the shul, two leaders of the community. It says, Som tasim alacha melech. Says you should have a king. Melech lo shnayim. You can have one king, but not two. Mimeno anachnu omdim. And we learn from there, from any other position of leadership. Shedabarach gad l'dor lo shnayim. You can have one leader, not two. Even if you decide that there's someone else who's better, right? Because we see this in all these generations, there are kings, there are kohanim gedolim, and there certainly may have been those who have been better kings. There's still better kings, malchut, that there would have been people that you might have thought, okay, I wish I had this king instead. You couldn't get rid of the one who was already the king. So this article is arguing you shouldn't have, I mean, that trying to run the country with two prime ministers is just not going to work. So too here. So in these final, not clear how long, days, weeks, months of his life, David is king emeritus. So what does he do in this his retirement? Shlomo's the king. He's got to deal with Yoav and Adonijah and all of that. David's sitting in his bed. I think we have a Perek Tehillim that describes David's feeling. We looked at a similar Perek, and Mashiach called Just Remember This, which was about the end of the rebellion of Absalom. And that was Tehillim Ayin Aleph that says, Al tashlicheni le'tzikna, don't cast me away in my old age. When I lose my strength, don't abandon. And the conclusion there was that he says, "Hosafti al kol tivatecha, I am going to say even I will increase from all of my Tehillim. I'm going to sit here and write Tehillim. That's my retirement plan." And Perek Chet is very similar. As we Radak summarizes, the David Elecha Hashem Ekra, Gamat Mizmor Meinyanim Mizmor Shavah, that this has a similar theme. Shekori al Hashem. That David calls to God and prays, he changed that he should give him that Hashem should fulfill his wish, to give him rest from all the troubles of the world. Let him be panui, that he should have free time with the sick, with nefesh, deal with his own spiritual matters. Shehi avodat kim, serving God. That's what he wants to do in his retirement. He's no longer king. And therefore his sins will be forgiven. Avru, anything he's wrong, the crab that show him come closer to God. That's this parrot. Tum Kafchat. As written with David. So in Mizmor, this is just David himself saying it. Elecha Hashem Akra, I call out to you, God, Tzuri al techarash mimeni. Oh my rock, do not be deaf to me. Pentach Hashem mimeni. Lest if you're deaf to me, then you'll be silent to me. I won't hear your voice. Nimshalti im yodevor, and I'll be just like those who go down to the grave. Shema kol tachnunai, listen to my prayer. B'shavi alecha, when I pray to you. When I raise my hands to your holy abode. As Radak says, that this is b'chein haya, and that's what happened. Ki b'achrit yamav, in the end of his life, Hashem caused it that he could step back from running the kingdom. And then when David was attacked by Yishbi ben Nov, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, and he was rescued by Anashav until his people forswore him, that he couldn't go back to war anymore. He was too weak to fight. He had no choice but to stay home. And here he's saying, well, I don't want, even though I'm stuck here in the palace, in my bed, can't get warm, still, I don't want Nimshalti im yodevor. I want to be like those who go down, literally go down to the pit, those in the grave. It's a very similar statement as in Perek Lamed, we say every morning, Mizmor Shir, Chanukah, it says, Hashem, helite mishu'ol nafshi, that you brought my soul out of the grave. Chaiteni miyor debor, same expression. You have given me life. Out from beyond those or those who go down to the grave. Ma betze b'dami, what value is there I translate as "Man, my silence." Shachar, will I go down to darkness? The dust will not acknowledge you. I will not tell you, speak of your truth. Shema Hashem Chaneni, listen to me, please. Hashem Ozer Li, help me. Very similar theme. And Benny Gesundheit, who is a friend of Rabbi Shulman's, he's a neurologist, but he does all these Tehillim articles. He does a lot more than I do. He says that between Perek Lamed and this Perek Kafchet is actually, it's a kind of chiastic structure that centers on the part between them of Kaftet, which is the Kol Hashem V'Hadar, and that both this Perek Kafchet that we're dealing with and Perek Lamed kind of parallel each other about Hashem, let me speak, don't let me be like those who go down to the grave. I think these two are very different. Perek Lamed, we looked at way back when we talked about Shaul. And when David was a young man, he's a magician for the depressed and paranoid Saul. That was a long time ago. And that the Sha'ol Nafshi, the Yordei Bor, were psychological states. That David's saying, don't let me be one of those who go down to the grave. And this is the way the article puts it. As the Talmud teaches us that Kol Ko'es, Kol Minei Gehinnom Sholtim Bo. If you get angry, that the fires of hell rule over you. The flames of frustration, anguish, and melancholy which smolder within the heart of the depressed man are the equivalent of the fires of Gehenna. Throughout the Book of Psalms, most references to falling into the lower world refer to this type of inferno. So that's what this, that's I think what Lamed is all about, emotionally. This is not, this parak, Kafteh, is not saying that he's in Sheol, or he is one of the Yodei Bor, because he's not dead. He says he doesn't want to be like them. Hashem is deaf to my prayer, that he won't speak to me. That's what I need. That's what my prayer is. I want to be able to hear Hashem's voice and sing that to others. That's what the Tehillim are all about. So that's what David's retirement plan is. The rest of Sefer Tehillim. So he continues, Al temshicheni im rasha'im, don't drag me along with the evildoers in Poley Oven, those who sin. Devarei shalom im ra'ehem, those who are hypocrites and they speak peace with their friends, who are ugly in the but there is evil in their hearts. A little pun going between Re'ehem, their friends, and Ra'ah. Right? They speak as though they're to friends, but really it's Ra'ah, it's evil. They're thinking evil. Tehillim kapolam. Pay them back for their actions. Mechara ma'alehem, and according to the evil of their deeds. K'maaseh yedehem, pay them back for what they do. Hashem b'mulam lahem, return to them, I think, Koran translate as their dessert. That which they deserve. Because they do not understand, and here it's El Pulat Hashem. They don't even go toward. Their Hashem doesn't go toward God. They're not interested in understanding what God wants, and what God's deeds are. They are same of Lo Yubinim. So God should destroy them and not build them up. And that's another pun here. They are not Lo Yavinu. They don't understand. So Hashem is Lo Yubinim, will not build them. And then the parak turns to Volta. And it goes from the prayer of Shema Kol Tachanuni to the gratitude that Hashem has heard my prayer, Shema Kol Tachanunai. Hashem has already heard my prayer. It says, Baruch Hashem, thank God. Ki Shema Hashem Kol Tachanuni, Hashem has heard my prayer. Hashem Ozi Umagini, God is my strength, my shield. Batach Libi, I had faith in him. I had faith in him. And he helped me. The yellows, Libi, and my heart was rejoiced. Umishirai, Ahodenu. And through my songs, I will Ahodenu, which usually translates as I will thank him. See how Koran does it. And Ahodenu, I will praise him as Ahoda. But really, that should be Odenu, not Ahodenu. There's an extra hey in there. It's a head. Literally is an echo. I think that fits better here. Literally means, and through my songs, I will echo him. And this is the way Schwab puts it about what hod means. The root of hod is actually hed, which means an echo. We find a similar usage in Bamidbar, Natata, me hodcha alav. Hashem tells Moshe, you need to give some of your hod to Yeshua. Yeshua is to echo, emulate Moshe Rabbeinu. Minapot is the echo of Kadosh Baruch Hu in response to our tefillah. So tefillah is not one-sided. It starts with our praises, expressing a desire to please him. Kadosh Baruch Hu returns this love to us and sends his blessings to the word, to the world. Similarly, hadar means to return. When it's moved with hell, it means respond and returning. We praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he returns love to us. Therefore, we say, Oz v'chedvah mikamo, there's strength and joy. They all come from Hashem. As a result of our joyous singing to him, Kadosh Baruch Hu responds to us. That's one way of looking at hod as an echo. We daven to Hashem, Hashem respects it back to us. But here is the opposite. It's David who's doing the echoing. But it's sheer, starts with Hashem is Ozi, that God is my strength, and that my shir is an echo of that. I'm reflecting God's glory to the world. And so we have this Oz and shir always go together to produce Yeshua. Last week's parsha. Ozi v'zimratka, my strength and my song, our God. He's Yeshua, and that was my salvation. And that was in Shirat Hayam. And the way the Emek Deber puts it, it's what's Ozi v'zimratka, the Lord is my strength and my song. That is, we praise God. When we understand, we're thanking God that once they understood that God's one who gave him the strength. That was what they were singing to God for. That I have the strength to withstand the suffering, and I also was able to sing to Hashem, that once I praise God, that's my zimra to God, the strength that God gives me. And that together makes for our salvation. We have the strength to withstand suffering and the strength to sing about it afterwards. That counts as true Yeshua. As it says in Hallel, I thank God because he answered me and healed Yeshua, and that was my salvation. And so David can't ask for a better retirement. He has the strength, not so much to get up, he's still stuck in bed, but he has the strength at least to thank Hashem. That's Ozi, Vizimatka, that's the Oz that leads to the Adenu. And so he ends the parak wishing that on all of Klal Yisrael. That's what David wants for everyone. Hashem Oz Lamo, God will be the strength to all of them. May Oz Yeshua Mashiachohu, and we'll take that strength from the strength that it was the salvation of his Mashiach of the king. Mashiach Amecha, so God, please save your people and bless your inheritance, Aim Nasem, and tend them, be the ro'eh for them, and lift them up out of them forever. And that mostly ends the story of David HaMelech. He's retired. We're going to go back and look at his preparations for building the Beit HaMikdash, but we have finished that here, and we will go on to look at the rest of Sefer Tehillim in future weeks. And I will stop
Thanks,
recording.
Gary.